Okay, welcome to Parshas Hashavua, Parshas Mishpatim. This is the parsha that comes after the parsha of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, last week in Parshas Yisro. So we're going to go through a couple of things. I'm going to share with you a fascinating idea on one of the mitzvahs of this parsha. And to do that, I'm going to first, we'll share with you the screen so we can go through some of the psukim inside. Oh, 1 second. Oops. Okay, here we are. Okay. So, pasuk begins. We'll just do something on the first pasuk, and then we're going to go into something very interesting. So the pasuk begins, "Ve'eleha mishpatim," and these are the mishpat, these are the laws. Asher tosim lifneim, that you shall place before them. So we have the famous Rashi, it's number two. Ve'eleha mishpatim, the parasha begins, and these are the laws. What does it mean? Says Rashi, kol mokeim shenemro eile. When the pasuk starts with the word eile, these are, pasal eser rishonim is coming to sort of to start something new and to negate the previous paragraph. But when it says ve'eile, and these, Moisif al Roshonim, it is adding something to the previous paragraphs, the previous psukim. And in this case, Ve'eila HaMishpatim is coming after Parshas Yisroi. So it's adding to Parshas Yisroi. It's extending what we learned to Parshas Yisroi. Says Rashi, Mo HaRishonim Mishinai, just like the first mitzvahs, which means just like the mitzvahs that Hashem gave us in Parshas Yisroi come from Har Sinai, Af Elu Mishinai, so too. These also come from Sinai. Now let's just extend a little bit. I'm just going to share with you something that the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains. He says the following, because the word is Ve'eila HaMishpat. What Rashi is trying to say is that we're going to learn all sorts of laws in Parshas Mishpatim that have to do with monetary things between man and man, litigation, damages. All these things are very logical things. You should know, just like the first things, which are much more loftier and holy. So to speak, were given Har Sinai, so too these mitzvahs are also from Sinai. But we have to just break down the word mishpatim, so we know that there are different kinds of mitzvahs in the Torah. There's chukim, mishpatim, and edus. Chukim are mitzvahs that have no reason, or at least we don't have a reason. Edus are ones that have a reason, but they're not. The reason is logical, but only once we are given the mitzvah. So, for example, we eat matzah because they didn't have time to bake bread. That's not a reason we would have thought of ourselves, unless we get told the reason. Then it makes sense, makes logical sense. And then mishpatim are mitzvahs which make perfect sense or are very rational, to the point that it is possible to come up with the mitzvah even without being told, because it's a normal thing, normal way of living. It's how to build a civil society, not to steal, not to, to have a system of justice, to pay for damages. That's a normal thing. You damage someone's field, you got to pay for it. But here comes the Rashi, and this is the depth of the Rashi. We're not just being told that these also come from Sinai. It's more than that. What we're being told is Ve'eleha Mishpatim. These are the Mishpatim. What does it mean, these are the Mishpatim? That even when you keep mitzvahs which are Mishpatim, which means even if you keep mitzvahs which are logical, even if you keep mitzvahs which the reason would be enough of a reason to keep the mitzvah. Nevertheless, you must keep it because Hashem says so. In other words, we should learn the reason. And learning the reason is a good thing. It gives us depth of understanding, and there's many reasons why it's important to learn and important to understand the reasons as much as we can. But that's not why we keep them. Af Elu Misinai means these are all from Sinai. The reason that we don't steal, the reason we pay for damages, is because it's Ratzon Hashem. It's the will of Hashem. That's why. It's the will of Hashem, that's why we do it, and that's why we have to do it, that's what we should do it. We should know, not because it's a good thing to do, because we understand why it makes sense, it resonates, it's no, because Hashem said so. Now, it happens to be that Hashem said so, and he also gave us the reason, or it's logical. He built into the system that it should make sense, and therefore, that's good. So we learn about it, we understand it, we go to its depth. But the reason that we keep it, says Rashi, Af Eilu Misinai, these also come from Sinai, we keep all the mitzvahs because they are the Ratzon Hashem. And even the mishpatim that makes sense, we could possibly arrive at their performance without even having the mitzvah, but that's not why we keep it. We keep it because it's a mitzvah, and through the mitzvah, we become connected, of course, to Hashem. Okay. Now, The first mitzvah in this parasha is the mitzvah of Eved Ivri, famous mitzvah. Let's have a look at number three. Ki sikne Eved Ivri, if you'll acquire a Jewish slave, Shesh shanim yavoid, for 6 years he should work, ubashvis yetzi lachofshi. And the seventh, he shall go free. Now, let's just give the context here. A Jewish slave is somewhat different to a regular slave. It's like more of a lease. In other words, he has to work for the person 6 years without doing anything else. The master will sustain him in all kinds of laws, how he needs to be treated, and so on. How does a person become an Eved Ivri? There's two reasons. Either Beis Din sold him, because it is a time in the Torah where a person could steal. If he steals, he robbed someone else, and that is not the money to pay back. So he's got to pay back, so the Beis Din could sell him as an Eved Ivri. Or a person can just be very poor, and he thinks, you know, this would be a good deal. I'll sell myself as an Eved Ivri, so I'll be supported. In the meantime, I'll have a job, and I'll be able to work for this person, but he will provide me for everything that I need, which is a good deal. So it's possible to do. 6 years he works, and then the seventh he goes free. However, we also learn, and this is number four, the pasuk, famous pasuk. Let's say at the end of 6 years, he says, "No, actually, I quite like it here. I like my master. I like it here. It's good. I want to stay on." So the pasuk says, "V'higishoy adoinov elolakim." So his master will take him to Beis Din. "V'higishoy ladeles oila mezuzah." They go to the door or the doorpost. "V'rotza adoinov es oznoi b'marzeya," and his master should pierce his ear with a certain instrument. "V'avodoy la'olam," and he will serve him forever. Forever actually doesn't mean forever, it means till the Yovel, till the Jubilee year. Okay. Says Rashi, a famous Rashi. Number five. Says Rashi, it's based on a Gemara. Says Rashi, Omar ro oizen lehiratzea mikol shar evrim shvaguf. Why is the ear needs to be affected more than any other limb of the body? It's almost like a little bit of a punishment for the slave that wants to stay on. So why? Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Oy a oizen zois, this ear, sheshomo al Har Sinai, that heard at Har Sinai lo signa, you shouldn't steal. The holach vegonav, and he went and he stole. Tiratzeya, his ears need to be pierced. Need to be pierced. To effect to show he didn't listen properly." We're going to focus more on the second part, part two. V'im, how about if it's a slave that didn't steal, but he's a slave because he sold himself? So we say it was also wrong. Oizen sheshomo al Har Sinai, a ear that heard at Har Sinai. Ki li b'nei Yisro avodim, that the Yidden are my slaves, not slaves to other people. We are servants of Hashem. And nevertheless, this person who heard that from Hashem at Har Sinai with his ear, the holach vekono odoin, and he went and he acquired a master for himself. That's not actually correct. You shouldn't do that. Tiratzas, therefore, his ear is punished. That's what Rashi brings. So the Mefarshim asked the question: if this is true, then it should have been pierced right away. The Aveira, the wrongdoing of piercing his ear, oh, sorry, the wrongdoing of acquiring another master, or even stealing, happened as soon as he done it. As soon as he became a slave, that's what happened. So why isn't his ear pierced as soon as he becomes a slave? Why do we wait the 6 years? And if he goes out after the 6 years, he doesn't get that punishment. Why not? He acquired a master for himself. He was an ear that heard at Har Sinai that we shouldn't have any other masters, because we are servants of Hashem, and yet he did it. So why doesn't he get punished then? He only gets punished with his ear that heard that we should be only Hashem's servants if he decides to stay on. Why? So I want to share with you a beautiful idea that I saw in a sefer called Sari Alofim, written by one of the rabbis, Twersky, that lives, I think, in Muncie. And it's based on a Baba Verebbe called the Kedushas Tzion, one of the first Baba Verebbes. And he said a very interesting thing, but I want to give a bit of context. So it's based on a Bala Turim, but let me just give a number six and seven. So like this, one of the Pirushim on the Torah, one of the commentaries on the Torah is the Bala Turim. The Bala Turim He was the person who wrote the Tur Shulchan Aruch. That's why it's called Balaturim. And he was the son of the Rosh. And he wrote a very fascinating, very small, brief Pirush on the Torah. A lot of gematria, a lot of other hints and stuff like that. But also, sometimes what he does is he points out when you have a phrase in a pasuk, he will tell you, we have this phrase three times or four times or twice in the Tanakh, and he will tell you when it is. Now, the idea behind that normally is that when you find that phrase three times in the Torah, there must be some connection. Okay, so in our parsha, we have one of these phrases, one of these examples. I will learn with you the pasuk, and then learn, I will learn with you the phrase, and then we'll learn with you the Balat Turim. The Balat Turim gives a simple pshat of why they're connected, but there's Mefarshim and Balat Turim that sometimes explain on a deeper level why these phrases are actually connected, even though they appear in the Tanakh in different contexts, in different parshas, seemingly having no connection with each other. What's the phrase in this week's parsha? Phrase it like this. It says, "V'cheyimkor ish es bito la'amo." After we have the parsha of the Eved Ivri, the male servant, the male Jewish servant, we have the parsha of someone selling his daughter as a female servant. Not a recommended practice, but what happens if it happens? So it says, "Loi seitzei ketseis ha'avodim." She should not go out like other slaves go out, meaning she doesn't go out like, for example, an Eved Knani, a non-Jewish slave, can go free if, let's say, the master pulls a tooth or injures his eye. All sorts of halachas that doesn't apply to a maidservant. Other things don't apply to a maidservant. She goes out the same as a male maidservant, like as a male servant after 6 years and so on, but she has additional ways. Anyway, she's her own category, so therefore, loy seitzei ketseisa avodim. She should not go out like the slaves go out, like the servants go out. Says the Balat Torah. Let's have a look, number seven. Ketseis. This word, ketseis, gimel b'mesorah, it appears three times in Tanakh. Hocha over here, loy seitzei ketseis. That she should not go out like the servant goes, like the slave goes out, like other slaves go out. Ve'idoch, another one, there's a pasuk later on in the Torah, talking about when Moshe Rabbeinu would come out of the camp and go to his tent where he lived. It says, "Ketseis Moshe el ha'oil." When Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to the tent. Okay. The third one is, "Ketseis Hashemesh bigvurosai." When the sun comes out with its full strength. What is the connection between these three psukim? She should not go out like a slave goes out. When Moshe Rabbeinu went out of the oil, to the oil, how the sun goes out in its full strength. So the Kedushas Tzion says the following beautiful idea. It says, there's a Gemara, a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that when Mashiach comes in the world to come, when the Yidden get the reward and the nations of the world, the pagan worshippers, do not get the reward, the Ummah Yisrael, the nations of the world, will come to Hashem and say, "Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, give us a mitzvah, we'll do it." We didn't do the mitzvahs, you didn't give us mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Hashem will say to them, "No problem. I have a small, easy mitzvah. Build a sukkah and sit in it." So everyone will go and make a sukkah. Well, what will Hashem do? He's going to bring out the sun and make it extremely hot. Like in the middle of the summer. And what will happen is they will reject the mitzvah and they will go out. Not only will they leave the sukkah, but they'll kick the sukkah on the way out. So therefore, they won't be deserving of that reward. They're going to show that they don't really cherish the mitzvahs. The Gemara asked the question, "What do you mean? If a yid was sitting in the sukkah and the sun would come out to such an extent that it would become incredibly uncomfortable to sit in the sukkah, similar to the discomfort, like when it fully rains into the sukkah. You know, when it rains in the sukkah, some people go into the house. Why? Because the Gemara says, mitzta'er poter min ha'sukkah. If someone is completely uncomfortable, he's actually absolved from the mitzvah of sukkah. So maybe this person's sitting in the sukkah and it's extremely hot, beyond normal, and he's extremely uncomfortable sitting in the sukkah and needs some shade going into the house or protection or whatever the case is. Maybe it's called mitzvah. Maybe it's called mitzta'er. He's completely uncomfortable, and because he's completely uncomfortable, maybe he's allowed to go in the house.
In
Says the
the house,
Gemara.
yeah.
I'm just going to. Right,
Okay.
says the
Do
Gemara.
you, how does it work?
Says the Gemara like this. Says the Gemara, no, you're right. The problem isn't leaving the sukkah when you're uncomfortable. The problem is the kicking of the sukkah. As if, wow, this sukkah is ridiculous. I'm not interested in the sukkah. That's the problem, right? In other words, both the yid and both that person who's building a sukkah of the nations of the world are both going to leave the sukkah if it's so hot. But the yid will leave upset. He doesn't want, he wants the sukkah. He's upset to leave. Whereas the other person leaves the sukkah and he kicks it, in other words, not upset at all. He rejects the sukkah. He says, this is the pshat. He says, what's the pshat? We know like this. There are two ways of serving Hashem, he says. One way of serving Hashem is like children who serve a parent out of love, out of enjoyment. A real son, a real daughter wants to honor the parents. He wants the parent to be happy. So he waits or she waits for the opportunity to make the parent happy. Or there's a way of serving Hashem like an eved, like a slave. A slave, says the Gemara, avde b'fker nichle, for a slave is just an imposition. A slave is just forced to do what he or she does, but really, I don't want to do it. They're really happy to get rid of the responsibility. They just don't want to do it. As soon as they can get a vacation, that's it. So he says, this is the three psukim. I'm going to bring up the document again. I want to show you inside. It's absolutely beautiful. He says, these are these three psukim. Let's take this one first. Ketseis Moshe b'gvurasa. When Moshe goes out to the tent, what does that mean? He goes into the house. Moshe means a yid. When a yid goes out of the sukkah, right? When will a yid go out of the sukkah, according to this Gemara? Ketseis Hashemesh b'gvurasa, when the sun comes out in full strength. So the Torah says, Lo yiseitz ketseis avodim. Don't go out like a slave. A slave that goes out of the sukkah, if it's an eved to a master, he's going to just kick the sukkah. He's going to be overjoyed that he can finally leave the sukkah. How should you go out of the sukkah? You should go out of the sukkah like a child who's upset he didn't have the opportunity to serve his parent, to make his parent happy. But he's forced, he can't do it. What should you do? He's absolved from the mitzvah. So he says, when you go out, look at Seis Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of the sukkah because of the sun that came out at its full strength. Don't go out like a slave. Don't go out like you're happy. Go out like you're upset, actually, because you really want to serve Hashem. Which, of course, is a general rule in all of Yiddishkeit. It's a beautiful foundation. Foundation is that we always have to see our doing of mitzvahs not like something that's an imposition, not like something that's so hard, not like something that we wish we could just get rid of, but something that we welcome. It's a schus. It's love. We want to love Hashem. We want to do whatever He wants us to do. We want to do it with simcha. We want to do it with enjoyment. And if we actually lose the opportunity, like for example, He doesn't bring this, but we have this idea in this in the. In the Chumash, when the Yidden were going to bring Korban Pesach, the first Pesach they had after they left Mitzrayim, and there were a few people that couldn't bring the Korban Pesach because they were tomei, they were impure. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "What's going on here? Why should we lose out?" You can ask yourself the question: why don't you just celebrate? What a pain in the neck! Everyone's going to go Erev Pesach. Can you imagine Erev Pesach with the hecticness? We still got to go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring a Korban. So they should have said, "Oh, thank God, we're potter, we're absolved. We don't have to bring the korban." No, bring a korban is a mitzvah. They want to do a mitzvah. They want to make Hashem happy. They want to connect to Hashem. They want to do it with love. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Loma nigora, why should we lose out of this mitzvah? Why do we lose out? We don't want to lose out." And Hashem gave them a Pesach Sheni. So that should be our approach, b'chlal, not to look to get out of a mitzvah. I mean, no, sometimes we have to have a heter, whatever the case is, in certain circumstances. But generally speaking, our perspective should be we're looking for the mitzvah. It's a beautiful mitzvah. It's a way to serve Hashem, even if it's hard. We do it with love, we do it with enjoyment. Okay, that's the concept. Now we can go back to the Eved. The question was, we punish the slave at the end of 6 years because he heard at Har Sinai that you're not supposed to have other masters, you're supposed to be surrendered to Hashem only. And nevertheless, he went and acquired another master. So, or the person stole, for example. And then we punish him 6 years later for listening, because he listened to the mitzvah, you shouldn't steal. So the question was, If those are averus, so those are wrongdoings, and he's going against what he heard at Har Sinai, then his ears should be pierced as soon as it happens, not 6 years later. But the pshat's different. Pshat's different. Pshat's like this. It's very different. When a Yid stole Chas V'Sholem, we assume he didn't steal willingly. He's not proud of it. He's not proud to have to sold it to slavery. Or when a Yid sells himself as a slave, he's not proud to do that. He doesn't want to do that. He knows he only has one master, and that's Hashem. But he's very, very poor. He doesn't have what to eat. Nebuch is in very, very strong circumstances, terrible circumstances. So he goes and he, what do you do? He does it. He's not happy about it. He just does it. Hashem says, okay, I can tolerate that. I won't punish you. I know that you heard of Har Sinai, you shouldn't steal, or you heard of Har Sinai, you shouldn't take another master, but I know you don't really want to do it. But when it comes to the end of the 6 years, and he says, this is great. I love my master. I love my children, whatever. I love everything. I love how everything is going here. I want to stay on. I says, oh, you want to do this willingly now, like a slave. You want to be, you're enjoying this. You're enjoying not having to serve Hashem properly. Now it's time to pierce your ear. Because it's like the difference between the person who left the sukkah upset or the person left the sukkah kicking the sukkah. And originally when the yid became a slave, that was like the yid who left the sukkah being upset. Leaving the sukkah, what should he do? But he doesn't have a choice. But when he says, I want to stay on, I'm enjoying this, that's like leaving the sukkah with a kick in the sukkah. So therefore, that's how Hashem says, now it's time to pierce your ear. I thought that was a beautiful idea, and I thought I would share with you. So have a good day and a good Shabbos. And everyone should only have good things. Thank you very much for joining. See you next week.